Ladies and gentlemen, what is up? Welcome to episode 74 of Inside the Game. Today's June 4th, 2013. And what, I mean, you guys, and what will undoubtedly go down as one of the busiest months of StarCraft in 2013. We have had a bunch and we still have a bunch. Season 2 is starting. And I feel like, honestly, the year kind of started officially with WCS, but this has been a fucking crazy month. And I'm excited to talk about not only the tournaments that have happened over the last few weeks, but what is coming up, guys. Hello, how are you?
Good.
Thorzane. Stuffy, in control, what's up? Yeah.
Long time no see.
I know, 2 weeks. Kind of forget how this whole thing
Boss's
works.
Passion.
We just talk and, you know, yeah, do that thing. What have you guys been up to? It's been like 2 weeks. I mean, just, have you not left? Your background's changed, Suppy?
Yeah, I moved into my new place in Berkeley.
You're like all grown up.
Yeah, I have my own room now, and now I can do all the things I want to do.
How many, seduce the ladies.
How many parties have you thrown?
Billions.
Oh, it's June 25th. Thanks. Billions of parties already?
Yeah.
Nice.
Did you decorate your room all by yourself, Suppy, or is that...
I have posters. They're in my car. I'm just too lazy to put them up.
Yeah? Posters of what?
There's one from Assembly. Then there's, like, this StarCraft one with a battlecruiser I bought. And then there's a Michael Jackson poster. And then there's... and then there's a...
serious business.
There's a football poster that I got from FedEx for free for some reason. And I don't watch football, damn, but it's kind of decorative, so I put it up.
Wow.
That sounds awesome, man. No, for real. I hope that it's up next time. My date's wrong, so I fixed it there for you guys.
Nice.
Jared, there we go. 21st.
It's June 25th. Thorzane, what's up? You're already up, over here. You're going to be well-rested, getting ready for MLG. How are things?
Yeah, after, right after Homestead Cup. So, yeah. For once, I'll play in MLG. Without the jet lag. We'll see how that goes.
For once? Has it been a while?
Huh?
You said for once.
Yeah, he's been a bitch.
I think, like, I was in the EG house before Rally 2012, so I wasn't jet lagged then, but I was really sick back then, so it doesn't count.
I gotcha. And control.
Hello. All three of us are at DreamHack. I got the opportunity to go there, and, speaking of being sick, I was sick for the first couple of days. I was worried about that ruining the entire event, but it didn't. It went away, thanks to the gods of honey and tea. And then since then, I've just been here getting some work done.
And get ready for MLG as well, which we're going to talk about a little bit here.
Yes.
Coming up. All right, well, let's just jump right into things. Well, maybe I can get us all talking a little bit here if we just jump right into things. So what is first on our agenda? We've got WCS Season 2. It has officially begun. In Korea, things have kicked off. In EU, things have kicked off. And actually, in AM, things start in July after MLG. But we've had some absolutely insane results already. And, you know, we gave our criticism for WCS Season 1 near the end. But one of the things that I know I said that WCS did right was once the coverage ramps up, like, there is always StarCraft to watch during the day. Like, you go from Korea to EU, and although we don't have the AM stuff going on right now, like, that's plenty of stuff. But have you guys been watching or following any of the WCS having now officially launched?
All of it.
Just watching mostly all the Zerg games. It's been pretty cool watching. I don't know. I still don't really know what to feel about the Korean format, but you get to see a lot of games too. So
the best of one.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. That definitely is. Is that only for the round of 32?
I think it's for the group play, and then I think they break down into a bracket that should be best of three or five, something like that. That's I am no expert, though, and sometimes what ends up happening is someone in the chat yells at us, Oh, best of three, round of 16. There
okay.
we go.
Okay. But it's the same style, I believe.
No, I think it's... Well, maybe round of 16 is groups, but I think it's bracket, I think.
Like GSL style?
Nope, round robin groups. There you go.
What else could we get wrong right now?
Fourth guest, the stream chat.
Here we go. I finally found it. There we go. That's what we're looking for. So, okay, before we talk about the games. So this time around, it is OGN that is doing it.
Yeah.
It's the OSL, basically. Does anyone think it's, like, just weird that the show actually just has changed from, you know, from season one to season two? Like, even I watched the GOM stuff this morning, but then I watched a little bit of the stuff last night on GameNet. And it's just, does anyone else just think it's kind of weird? Like, I don't know. Is it the change? Well, like, I don't know.
The awkward part was that, so they flipped. Season one, the regular broadcast was GOM, and then the finals was OGN.
Right.
And now in season two, the regular broadcast is OGN, and the finals is going to be GOM. But the funny thing was, for me, when I want to watch WCS, especially because of season one, I turn on the GOM stream. So that's what I did. I flipped on the GOM stream, and I see Nick and Dan in this empty studio. And I was like, whoa, slow night at WCS. I don't know, is there a holiday in Korea or something like that? It was really weird for me.
Right.
But then I kind of gradually figured out what's going on. And I think the funny thing about that is because the information's out there. So it's not like, they didn't say a word. But the funny part is that it's out there, but it's not really glorified because this is a weird, uncomfortable agreement between two very big companies. Like, GOM and OGN have been appeased with this deal. This is not what either of them want, and this is not what's best for the community. This is what will keep them both at the table. So it's like this weird, like, now it's our turn, and nobody really talks about it, and it just kind of happens, and it just feels weird. I agree with you. It's very awkward.
We'll see if it's improves it all, but it certainly like hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, wow, you know, I've known this was going to happen for the whole season, but it wasn't until I actually saw it where I was like, all right, it's a little crazy. But let's talk a little bit about the matches. We've already had Group A and Group B played last week, actually, where we had Flash and Sulky advancing in Group A and Innovation and Byung advancing on Group B. And then we had C&D, and obviously, I mean, these guys are already hauling ass. Most recently, though, which are the games that I'd like to talk about, and also it brings up some of the points that I think a lot of people are complaining about. We saw in Group E, Jangbi and Life, Peace, out of there. And in Group F, Leenok and Roro, which is pretty amazing to see. Those four knocked out. So this brings up some points that I want to talk about, which is a lot of people, you brought it up, Suppy. It's like you don't know about the best of one. And a lot of people said, you know, I feel like we saw a lot of all-in games. We saw just a lot of early aggression. Build orders to just kill. And a lot of people saying that's not as exciting as some of the other formats that we're seeing. In WCS. So do you think that is, you know, because of the level of players that we've got, do you think that that's really hurting them? Do you think that it would be better if we had a matched format across the board? What are you guys' thoughts on this? Especially with the best of one format. Would you go apeshit and go all crazy early aggression, all in builds if you could?
I mean, I think most people want to see more games because they feel like the better player is going to advance when there's a best of three. There's less variance. I think best of one is probably more suited towards like those team league kind of stuff. And I think that's where it really excels because it really makes exciting strategies and like kind of weird plays possible. But I think for, you know, WCS, I think a lot of people kind of feel cheated if like their like favorite player just gets knocked out right away. It's kind of really disappointing because you feel like they weren't really given a shot or they got knocked out by some really random build or something. And a lot of players excel in different types of, you know, like MVP is well known for his ability to do well in like best of five, best of seven situations, even when people think he's not doing so well. And I think that's kind of annoying for the players. I mean, there's a lot of players who would be better in a best of one situation rather than a best of three situation. And
right.
So it's kind of weird for them to kind of just suddenly introduce that.
For me, I think it's interesting because obviously as a competitor, you're always going to want more opportunities. So you're going to want those best of three, best of five, or best of sevens. And that's what they end up doing later in the bracket. So it kind of stands to reason that I think on a certain level, but OGN also recognizes that for the more important matches, you're going to want, you know, more games between these better players to determine who's the best player to advance. That just makes sense, right? Could you imagine the horror that would be like a best of one grand final, like the most hilarious thing ever?
Woo!
It's 20 minutes of dick. Please present the champion. But having grown up on Brood War and seen this best one format on a regular basis, I think there's some pretty big pros and cons. I think one of the things that a lot of people are going to have to get over is that change in general is just going to always be uncomfortable for them. So when they make this change, everyone's just inherently, for the most part, the hardcore StarCraft fans are going to be like, don't like, not used to that, do not like. But it's not truly like you lose one game and you're done. You play three or four games in a best of one format, so you're only playing one game against the same guy in that particular series. But I like it because it kind of makes each match really intense. Like, this is a super important, very crazy match. And yeah, okay, one guy could cheese out a much better player. Like, we saw SOS actually already drop out, and I think Life is out as well. That's actually effing bonkers. And part [S2] Right. [S1] Of that is because of the best of one format. It's very hard to beat those guys in a best of three, as we saw in the previous WCS season. But I think it offers some fun stuff. So I know it's kind of a middle-of-the-road opinion, but I just think people should give it a chance because it's not all bad.
Thorzane, you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I actually haven't been able to watch any of the games. I've been traveling for the last 3 weeks. Best of ones in general, as we've said, is very, like, it's very easy to lose to all-ins. But I don't really personally have much against it. I guess, yeah, of course, like, there'll be really good players like Life and SOS losing to maybe players they would have beaten in best of threes, but I just, yeah, as I said, I haven't watched anything, but I think it's okay. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the moment it gets in a round of 16, everyone's going to forget about it anyway. So it is sort of, I think it is because you see, you know, runner-up to last season getting knocked out, and people are like, well, God, if it wasn't this piece of shit best of one. But it is interesting, and Jeff, you bring up some good points. It makes it exciting. Like, it rewards you. You mentioned, like, you can't necessarily be out in two games, but you can if you win. So mm-hmm. It rewards you for basically playing to win. Like, what are you willing to do to try to get those victories? Because with every cheese and every all-in that we see, there's obviously risk involved with that, too. So, interesting.
More, you know?
What's that?
Well, I think that's, like, I saw someone in the chat actually say that SOS lost his cheese game, won his cheese game and lost his two macro games. That's a, you know, that's a fair criticism. But one of the things I like about this format is that when you cheese now, because it used to be, like, in a best of three, if you cheese in, like, the first game or if you went up a game and then cheese in that second game, it's, like, a cool, smart thing to do in that best of series. So I'm certainly not taking it away, but it's not quite as exciting. Cause it's like, all right, he lost that game. Well, now we're going to have to go to game three where it actually matters now. Whereas in this best of one format, holy shit, he's doing a cheese. This is crazy. Could Flash
right.
actually get knocked out right now? You know, like, that's actually the excitement of it. So again, as competitors, if you were to ask any player, except for like, like if Hello Kitty was in this facing Suppy, he'd be like, oh, I like best of one. This one's great. This will be really good. But for the majority of competitors, they're like, no. I want best. I would do best of 17 if I could. You know, like, that's what they would actually add. I mean, maybe not, but best of three, best of five, certainly.
All right.
What I'm wondering is, don't they lose, like, a lot of time, broadcast time, doing this? Because there would be, like, way less games.
You mean because it'll be shorter overall?
Yeah. A group should be shorter now than it is when it's...
Yeah, I think I watched... because well, they're doing two groups...
Yeah, but it's still the same amount of players, right?
No, they're doing like, so they go through two groups, eight players on the Korean broadcast. I watched Group F in literally like an hour and 10 minutes by just going through the VOD. So I kind of skipped through
That's
all the
VODs.
Bullshit, right?
Yeah.
But
with the bullshit, it's as long, and they do two broadcasts a day, so
okay.
It's actually a long day. But we're already 75% done with WCS Season 2 for Korea. Like,
I know.
Yeah. It started a week ago. Like,
whoa!
I think it's down now, but...
I think it might be a little bit of a good thing that, like, there's not, like, so much material as before that takes forever to, consume and watch all of it. Because sometimes people might feel like there's, like, too much stuff to watch. And this way, you kind of condense it. It's kind of like YouTube videos where you never watch a YouTube video that's, like, 15 minutes long. But, you know, all the top YouTube players or YouTube streamers, whatever you call them, they have, like, 1 minute, 2 minute videos and people just watch those. So I think it's kind of interesting. Like, there's a lot of matches going on right now, so there's still a lot of content. But now you can kind of watch all of it and it's not, like, this huge, like, 32 games or whatever, best of threes. Like before.
Yeah, I mean, there is a part of me that wishes it all ran in sort of conjunction. Because I think, like, as a viewer, I'm more apt to watch it as if it was, like, kind of sports, right? Because I don't watch every basketball game. I'm a fan of these teams, so I watch the games that they play in. And so, you know, when all of them are going on, and there was a point where I think we had all three regions at least broadcasting something during the day, I felt like I was looking, picking out what I wanted to watch, and then, you know, watching that content, unless someone said, oh my God, this match was amazing, you have to watch it. So, like, I agree, there's a lot of content across the board, but I think it would be sweet to see it all synchronized across the board. Because then it becomes really easy to follow. Like, shit, man, we're going to be like, okay, well, they're in the round of eight, and I think they're about to bring the challengers up, and here's the 16, and if it just all kind of ran together, I think you educate people on the league better, too. I think,
and it hasn't even started.
Yeah, yeah.
Your point is excellent. I fully agree. And I think unfortunately, that's, like, the next thing that everyone collectively kind of shakes their head at, because it seems like every time WCS does something right, we then get the shifter view towards the next thing they're doing wrong. Like... we'll talk about it in a second, but, like, I feel like Europe did a fantastic job with their first matches. I love that they brought on Apollo.
Yeah.
You know, the merits of best of one, okay. You know, it's getting things done. Suppy likes that. It goes faster. That's fine. But you're absolutely right. The Korean season is already underway. The European one started today. NA's not even started yet. They all have different formats. They're all broadcasting from different places, which that part makes sense because you're not going to have one, you know, esports city just yet. But with all those things combined, the whole idea behind WCS is to make it one centralized, this is StarCraft. But right now, it's not. It's
right.
It's WCS, and let me show you the different productions we have going.
Yeah. And not necessarily the fault of anyone, because it can be difficult to synchronize. I do believe that eventually it will happen. I have to believe. But obviously with the things that are happening in AM as well, that's probably hard to get on there. So you had mentioned WCS EU that kicked off today.
Yeah.
And we've already had some pretty good games over there. You mentioned that they had picked up Apollo as well, casting alongside Kolaris. We had Group A debuting sort of WCS EU. That all started today, where MVP and Teffel made their way out of there, and MVP, like, almost effortless. He did drop only one game, but people expected that, and that's what people got.
He should have lost to Teffel, to be honest with you. He should have taken second place. Teffel versus MVP on Neoplanet S. If you haven't seen, read, or heard that game, cover your ears and eyes and go watch it, because it's, I guess in just talking about it, you're going to get ruined a little bit, so screw you, but it's one of the best comebacks in StarCraft history, and I know that's a weird sensationalist thing to say, but it honestly is. It was 5 SCVs versus 50 drones, and MVP somehow makes that, like, a reality. I don't know. I don't know how to tell you otherwise. But it was a great series.
Thorze just says mules. That's it. Simple.
I mean, yeah, of course, but I don't care. You can't... 5 SCVs versus 50 drones. Yeah, mules are good. But it's not like he had three fully, like, upped CCs. It took, like, ridiculous MVP play and Teffel being on Roach Hydra for too long, I guess. But, again, worthwhile watching, just amazing. But you'd think I'm getting paid by ESL with all the compliments that I give them. But I really am happy that once again, they kicked us off. Great graphics. Studio looks nice. Really smooth production. It was very unfortunate the last game, the stream did die. I don't know who to blame for that, but those kind of things suck, but it's not like, you know, we write it off as like a failure. It wasn't. It just can't keep happening. But the European broadcast of WCS is something to be proud of. And of course, they can always improve, and it's not perfect, but it's something that I really enjoy. It's really great.
I agree.
I think Tefl is a really interesting player. Like, he always does you don't expect people to see. Like, against Taran, he never goes hatch first. He always goes, like, pool into hatch. And I don't know about TVP and CVP and CVC, but in general, I just think, like, he's one of the players who plays out of the box.
Yeah. He always has. He was the guy that, like, way back in Wings of Liberty was going Hydra Ling in ZVP, which was really, really weird. But then he made it work at a time when people were just going Roach, like, Roach and Fester into Broodlords.
And Elfie's also pretty, like, he plays more standard, but he also plays a lot of interesting stuff. So was there anything weird going on in Elfie against Tefl?
Yeah. Whenever I watch WCS EU, I do this, you know, it's in the morning, so I'm doing other things. So at one point, like, they're introducing Tefl and Elfie, and then I, like, got up and did something, came back and sat down. And Elfie had, like, 20 unupgraded zealots inside of Tefl's base. And I just shook my head, and apparently Elfie four-gated, like, one base four-gated and won the game. But with just straight zealots. So, I mean, that's Elfie for you.
Yeah.
Did Tefl, in Season 1, he... Oh, okay, round of 16 in Challenger.
Yeah, and he did well at DreamHack recently, too. He actually beat Elf DreamHack and was in the round of 16 there as well, I believe.
Okay, I was just trying to find those other ones. So.
He's been good for a while. Signed to Dignitas, just a good Polish Zerg, but still doesn't have that big win. And unfortunately for him, he came up at a time when it was really popular to call any Zerg that had any success at that time a patch Zerg, which is weird because he was anything but that because he played so different and so weird that... it was not. It's like not fair to call him that. So it's nice to see this WCS story of a relatively unknown, I mean, less unknown, but I guess more not one of the big superstars, making a little bit of a splash, taking a game off MVP, should have won the series, and taking second in a group over Elfie and Beastie Cutie, who are probably more established names.
Definitely. So tomorrow we've got real quickly, I just closed that window. Where the hell did it go? Tomorrow we've got Stefano, Shuttle, I believe MC and Slivko battling it out for Group B. So that'll be 1800 CEST. But if you just go to the portal, it's got a countdown. And I have to admit, as we transition to the next topic, like, I still find myself using the TL WCS portal.
Yeah.
Sorry. It was
the first one there.
It's
still good.
Yeah, it is. DreamHack wrap up. So I know it's been a bit since DreamHack, but Jeff, you were there. We talked a little bit about on Live on 3 about some of the criticism. I heard you respond to it a little bit.
I didn't hear. What was the criticism?
Oh, you know. Oh, well, it was not necessarily in StarCraft. It was like Dota. There was some stuff with the stage.
I think everyone agrees putting Dota next to LoL was a big mistake.
Yeah. So anyway, with all things said and done, I'd love to just hear your firsthand account, what you thought of your DreamHack experience, and we'll talk about Home Story Cup 7.
For me, it's like a huge, and I don't actually just say this. I really do believe it's a huge honor to be a part of the DreamHack broadcast, just in general. It used to be that their off events, their Valencia, Bucharest, and Stockholm was the one that had the show. But now, this year, they've improved it where even their summer and winter festivities are going to have much more of a production and much more of a something you could tune into and be entertained by, even if you're not a hardcore StarCraft fan. Whereas in the past, if you're a hardcore StarCraft fan, then DreamHack's fantastic because there's so many games. But if you're not, then it's a little bit drab. Day one at DreamHack is still something that probably deserves all the criticism it gets, but otherwise it was just amazing, really fun. It's the big summer event. They had 20,000 kids there playing games, which is always mind-boggling.
Mind-boggling, man.
It actually
is. I gave a description last week. Jeff, can you give us, like, people just don't understand, man. Like, this is... take any LAN party you've been to and multiply it by 100, like hands down. Can you give us your Jeff In Control Robinson description of what it is like in there?
It's like a weird post-apocalyptic society where children rose up and threw out all the parents, and with this new society, of course, what they decided to do was play computer games and consume energy drinks in darkness.
Oh, shit.
And then, of course, there's a lot of the sexing going on too. So that's what this place is, which is, I've always said this. If I was one of those 14-year-old kids, like, I would. This would be heaven. This is where you'd want to be. It's just a weekend long of video games, junk food, and hanging out with your friends.
And every game you can possibly imagine is being every played game. On that network, for sure. And
every
who
game.
Knows what's being shared on the underground file networks of DreamHack, I'm sure.
Don't want to know.
Sure, it's a scary place.
It's not as bad as what's being shared just on the grounds of DreamHack, I'm guessing. And then as far as the event itself, like, DreamHack has this weird reverse curse where they're always blessed with just amazing games. Like, mm-hmm. the bracket was set up so that Show makes the upset of a lifetime in terms of a Swede yet again beating just a juggernaut, absolutely amazing player. Jadong making it to the finals was exciting enough, but then he's facing the underdog of the story, the whole tournament, Stardust. This guy, for a lot of people, came out of nowhere, and he's in a major tournament against major opponents, and he's making big waves, beating Violet and Hyun before that. I mean, these are GSL household names. So really incredible stuff. And then the other cool thing here, too, just to kind of sell out for a second, is the cool underdog story of Nathanius. I mean, casting is these days, it's the same names at every tournament, which I'm fine with because I think they're the best casters. You don't want to just change it up for the sake of changing it up. But it's nice when someone deservedly so puts in the work and gets rewarded for that. And Nathanius is the face of that. He basically worked his ass off in his home streaming and casting whatever the hell he could. Finally, he gets a breakthrough because he restreamed the Pro League and people liked his commentary. And now he's joining teams, getting gigs, and the guy, his phone is off the hook with offers right now. And I think that's a really cool story, and deservedly so. He's really good at his job.
So I actually wanted to talk with you about that. Both about Nathanius and also about Stardust, which was certainly an interesting story there. So Nathanius, obviously, we've said it here before on the show, but, like, hard work absolutely pays off, and this guy shows it. Like, I keep saying it, but I would wake up every morning, I would sit down, start my morning emails, cup of coffee, and I would throw him up. He'd be doing the Team Story Cup or one of the other, team cups, and just always working his ass off. He definitely deserved it. He did great. I want to go back to Stardust for a second.
Sure.
Stardust came out of this, like, grew in popularity times 1,000, right? Even we brought it on Live on 3. He's obviously very appreciative. It was an awesome interview that he gave as well. You know, he speaks English and speaks it well. I think the day after or a few days after he was streaming and he was 6,000. He was doing very well. But today I saw him on. I don't know if he And he only had, like...
It's like 1,500.
Oh, is that what he made it up to?
Yeah, so, I was watching.
Okay, so do you think, like... I actually thought his popularity sort of wave was going to go for a bit, but it certainly seemed like it just quickly...
Yeah.
I don't know. ADD sort of mentality or what, but...
This is a really good thing to discuss as far as I'm concerned because it shows what it takes to be big in this community. Like, Stardust, as a Korean, needs to speak some semblance of English, or he needs to be the absolute juggernaut. Do you guys remember a player by the name of Sniper? How weird is that? This is like a massively good Korean player who had an amazing GSL run, but since then has been quiet. We don't really hear about him or anything like that. Stardust always streams, and at the tournament, I guess I'm a little bit jumbled about this. Let me try to reorganize. At the tournament, he gives great interviews. He's exciting. He's fun. He's engaging. He has a different play style, which is also fun, but I guess that's a lesser factor. Wins the tournament, which is a big, big deal. Goes on to stream the following day. So there's this giant wave of intrigue. He literally goes from having like 500 people tops on his stream to 6,000, but when he streams, doesn't say a fucking word. In fact, a lot of times doesn't even play music. It's just a silent stream with him playing StarCraft. And for a lot of people, that's great. For the really hardcore fans, yeah, that's awesome. So he, like, fizzled off. He cooled down to 1,500, which is still a very respectable stream. But in order to get that 6,000, the people like your White Raws, your Idras, your Stefanos, the Muslim, I mean, I can go on, but what is the thing that I'm constantly... What's the thing we can relate to all these names? They're tournament winners, or not, or they're very good, but they all commentate, or they're all engaging and interesting personalities. Select, another big stream that came out of essentially nowhere, came back from nowhere. Big viewers because he's hilarious and because he commentates. It is the thing that we've said from the very beginning. You could be one of the best players in the world, but your stream will not get the numbers unless you are a commentating stream. And Stardust is experiencing that.
Interesting. No, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. But good player, and obviously he still continues to play well on his stream, but you're right. Like, that's one of the reasons why I will turn on, like, a guy like Katz and watch him for a few hours because, you know, he'll talk, he'll sing, he'll do something fun, you know.
And let me sell Stardust stream a little bit, because part of the reason I still watch and I like it, because I don't necessarily need commentary for myself, but one of the reasons I like Stardust stream is because, and this is actually kind of a criticism against Korean streams in general, when you watch his stream, game, very little bullshit. Very rarely does he get up and, like, leave a...
watch a YouTube video of a Korean...
Yeah, there's not just him K-pop typing there, there's not an empty chair... No replays, nothing like that. It's straight game. So when I turn on Stardust stream, I know I'm going to watch Protoss versus X for 5 hours straight. And it's really high level. He's a great player.
That's funny. That's
but
why
a lot
I
of Korean streams are bullshit, man. Yeah.
I know I'll see fucking 59 hours of game.
Yeah.
It's always there. I don't understand.
Oh, it's fucking hilarious. Sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's okay. It's just in general, I think one of the kind of funny things is like, there's some really awesome Korean players, but I actually will not watch their stream because the stream experience is pretty bullshit, actually. It's like, a lot of it is them not even sitting there. I'm getting a commercial in a sec.
Oh.
Speaking
what?
Of streaming, I'm watching like five streams right now, okay. White Raw. Yeah. I'm not gonna do that thing where I pretend to talk, but I can't hear myself because I'll sound even more dumb. But yeah. Anyways, a lot of Korean streams, amazing players, bad streams. It doesn't necessarily correlate. You're not gonna get commentary from the Korean players in general. Like, there's very few that do. Select, of course, being one of the ones that lives abroad, so he's able to do that. But if you're not gonna get commentary, then what I want and what I will stay for is great gameplay and games in a row.
Yeah. The most annoying thing is when they have their coaches play games. Like, did you ever tune into a stream like
that.
MKP and like, I remember when MAP was starting to play, I was like, oh my god, MAP is streaming, let's watch that. And then it's his fucking coach streaming. I was like, why would I want to tune in?
Psych.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. All right. So DreamHack was a while ago, obviously, but we wanted to touch on it a little bit. Home Story Cup 7.
Shouldn't you ask about Suppies? It's his first time to DreamHack. And
oh, yes. Suppy. You're right. Suppy, your first DreamHack. What were your thoughts on that? Thank you, Thor.
I mean, I thought it was sick. I went to Assembly last year, and I saw, like, all the computers, and I was already, like, pretty much amazed. And then take DreamHack and just multiply Assembly by, like, 30 times or something. And it's pretty insane. And probably my most favorite part of the event was our player area was right next to the LOL, like, stage or whatever. So every, like, 10 seconds you would hear, like, like, huge, massive cheers. And I was just like, oh, that's LOL. And then towards the end of the tournament, we started hearing different cheers. It, like, sounded like it was a little bit further away. And it was, like, me, Chris, me, Huck, and HeyPro, we were, like, sitting there just, like, watching whatever, and we're like, wait, that wasn't LOL, right? And we, like, listened again, we heard it, and we, like, tuned into the stream, and it was like Show versus Life 1-1, and we're like, holy shit, like, StarCraft was making all that noise. So, like, that was probably one of my favorite parts of the event as well.
Nice.
I didn't think I was going to do well at the event at all. I had, like, a terrible mindset going in.
And what did we learn?
To be positive.
Yes.
To be positive?
Yes.
Okay. Did you do
this
some
is a
coaching?
Growing experience for Suppy.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's hop. I was lambasting this kid because he's Suppy's our little mascot turned amazing pro. And he's going to one of his first big international tournaments. So he hops on the plane. He's like, "Dear Twitter, don't expect much from me. I have a terrible mindset, and I haven't really practiced." And next time I see him, I'm like, "Suppy, what the fuck are you thinking?" And he's like, "Should I have not done that? Was that a bad idea?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it was." And then we had a talk about it.
I didn't say I didn't practice. I was practicing.
Practice
but
hasn't been going great. I've been losing a lot. Something like that.
Is that what something it sounds like?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's voice. Yeah.
Pretty much.
So we learned the lesson of not broadcasting that you're going to lose a tournament before going into a tournament.
But that's what Stefano does every single time. Guys,
yeah, and if
a
we're
lot.
Using Stefano as a model for what to do and what not to do, there's a lot of things.
Oh, God. That's true. That's so true. Someone in chat had a question I had. Atlas832 said, "Why didn't Xenocider go? Was there like a issue with passport or something like?"
We signed him, and I guess unbeknownst to him, he had previously been booked by his family for a family trip back to China. So then he goes to his parents, like, "Hey, can I go to this tournament?" Something got lost along the way, and it turns out he can't. So. Okay. His first EG appearance will be at MLG, which means we'll get to show off our brand new jersey featured in the triple small size. The extra, extra, extra small jersey.
So
we have a brand new jersey?
Mini
no.
Week.
But it'd be funny if we did.
I think he's actually like not that short, though. Is he?
I will take that bet. How about $100?
Well, what's your... I think he's like at least 5'8".
I would go with less than 5'8".
Maybe. I don't know.
Less than 5'8"?
Yeah.
5'8"'s pretty tall.
I know. Don't tell Suppy that, though.
It's like one of those tall, lanky Asians.
Suppy's like one of those giant Chinese that are the rarities that didn't think everyone else is that tall.
Can we talk about Home Story Cup 7 now?
Yeah.
Should we?
No.
Sure.
Okay. Team Liquid sweeps. Snoot almost goes back-to-back. I think this is still just a fantastic tournament to kind of kick back and watch over a weekend. Again, I don't know that I could handle this every single time, but I always know it's going to be great. Like, it's always the perfect dose of Home Story Cup every single time. Thorzane, you were there. Mm-hmm. I saw you fucking playing, eating hot dogs, casting, doing just about everything.
Doing the homestead stuff.
Yes, exactly. I mean, so how about you? Let's hear from you. Like, here it is, Home Story Cup 7. You know, what made this one great compared to some of the others?
Okay, so I haven't been to the previous two or three Home Story Cups.
You've been to one, though, haven't you?
I've been to two. Like, okay. I think it was the third one and the fourth one, or the fourth and the fifth one. Either way, I love them both, but I kind of missed like being there because it's been way too long, like 1 year or so since I was there last time. Not a lot of things changed, but some things changed. It seemed like even more, in some ways it seemed even more relaxed, and in some ways even more like serious. It was hard to explain. Like, it's still like getting bigger and bigger, like their production and stuff, but it was like even more laid back than usual. They have another, like usually we only have one floor. This time we had two floors, which unfortunately spread out the players that weren't playing a bit more. So it wasn't like as cozy in a way. Like usually, like all the players who weren't playing would be like discussing the games in one room. This time it was like a bit more separated, but it was still like really good interaction between the players, more than at any other tournament.
Did you like that more or not like that more? Because I would guess it would be nice to have a little bit more room, but it sounds to me like you actually preferred it the old way.
Yeah, I think the old way was a bit better. I think most players agreed. Like, I heard a lot of people complaining, not necessarily complaining, but just talking about like how it wasn't really the same, but it was still good. Like, yeah,
but nobody could hear their complaints because they're all upstairs.
Did you play Loop and Louie?
No. Oh, nobody played that, I think. Like, oh. They did that on the first day, a couple of guys, for like half an hour. Then I didn't see anyone touch it the whole time.
It
was standing there on the table all tournament long.
Number one fail of Homestray Cup was I heard that they weren't really playing poker the entire time, which sounds
Yeah, they were. Oh, they moved the poker table, so it was like, you know... Yeah, you've
outside.
Been there. So yeah.
What do you
like
mean
in the
they
middle,
weren't really...
I don't know what to call that thing, but like... And it was right where everybody's smoking. So like, I think that kind of triggered a lot of people not to use the table. Which, I didn't play poker in previous ones, but like, it was a place where people like socialized, like the center of attention almost. And now all we did was play foosball all the time.
You don't like foosball? Table football.
Oh, it was fun. Okay. I like it a lot. We played like, I think, a group of like 6, 7, 8 people. We were always around the table. Whenever we didn't play, we played foosball.
So it seems like smaller is better.
You keep telling yourself that, Suppy. I don't care what anyone tells you, man. You hold on to that. For me, it was kind of fun. I like hearing the special guest laugh. Anyways, I liked this experience. Obviously, I was really sad to miss out on Homestory Cup, but as a viewer watching Homestory Cup, I thought they did a really cool job of I don't know, maybe they always do this, but this is like one of the first one I missed, where like it was you could kind of feel the fun from home. Like the interviews were really cool. I thought Kevin did a really good job as a host. It was really unfortunate that Bitters wasn't there because they're kind of like a whenever they're apart, I feel like there's something wrong. Like what happened?
What's Rotterdam has matured though. Like he can actually hold his own. Like he was doing throws and intros and outro. I was like, man. He's always been a little rough around the edges, but he is really sharpened up.
Yeah, and you know, I thought the different levels of the place as a viewer was interesting because it made it seem bigger, which maybe is better for the presentation of Homestray Cup. But I can definitely hear what Thorzane's saying and hear that. What I would say though is, as a snobby American that always goes in AC buildings, the idea of the players being more spread out for the summer Homestray Cup might not be such a bad thing, because last time I was there, I sweat off every ounce of water weight I possibly had. But I thought it was great. Good games, nice results. Team Liquid sweeping the top is really incredible. It can't be understated how good that is for them as a team. I was cheering for Snoot in that final just because I wanted the repeat and because Tasia wins enough as it is, but Tasia with the boring ultimate victory.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that boring. At least it went all seven games.
Super boring. No, I'm kidding.
What any games stand out to you guys in your mind? Or I would say, Thorzane, any events that happened at Homestory that stood out in your mind?
I just liked how like Take brought like a couple of special guests like Nama and Bling, and Stardust was there as well. Like Bling, the first 2 days, all he did was sleep on the couch, and for Nama, all the 3 days, all he did every single day was sleep. Like at least Bling did something at the ending, like the ceremony, but Nama, I don't think he did anything at all.
I thought like, I heard
just got there to hang out.
I heard he like went out and partied and like got a bunch of girls like every single night.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm up.
Okay, wait. Let me rewind for a second, because you're like, I guess one of the things I liked is that Take brought in these two special guests, and then you said the special guests did jack shit. They just.
I just thought it like it was a bit like.
He likes the idea behind it.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
No, I didn't like the idea. Well, I didn't dislike the idea. I just thought, like, interesting. Okay. I didn't see the point of them coming, but it's nice to have them there.
Nama casted, didn't he?
Yeah, he casted one game. Yeah. I was watching it.
Yeah. The game.
A little bit of a little. Quick little criticism. At some point, we need an American to go there and kick some ass. Unfortunately, like State, Ghost User, and
there's Hendrilisk and QXC.
QXC and Hendrilisk.
And QXC. They all had a tough time.
I think. All of them got 0-3 except for Ghost User, who almost made the top 16 or whatever. So, and he's like almost not considered like American anymore because he's been.
Is
like,
he French? Is he considered French yet?
Almost. No, they were joking. So. They were joking about it in the commentary.
All right,
he's been practicing. He's been practicing in Europe. Come on.
I know. But let me tell you, and I think Thor's Inn can back this up. Of all the countries in Europe that would not accept someone, I think France hits almost the top of that list as a country that would be like, no.
I think Finland.
Yeah, he's winning here, but
Okay, he's not considered French, but he's like pseudo American. He's like an immigrant. So,
reverse.
Well,
yeah, reverse.
Do you consider select Korean or American?
I would say probably American. American, probably.
Yeah. But you consider Violet Korean, right?
I think Violet's a Korean.
Until Violet marries an American woman, which he will do.
I agree. Nope.
Yeah.
I have to second that motion. And we learned that apparently MC has a career beyond StarCraft, because I'm pretty sure that some television show is going to be like, dude, we're just giving you a variety hour. Like, we don't give a fuck what you do. He's going to be like the Korean Bob Hope. MC's going to come out. He's going to fucking sing his song. He's going to talk about a build order. And everyone's going to love it. And it's going to be great.
And I would pay money to watch that shit.
I think I would. Like, I see MC creating, like, the first sort of, you know, Twitch-streamed variety talk show, but for the Korean audience. And then we'd all watch it anyway, because it would still be great.
During the Korean cast, he threw to commercial. It was a weird, weird thing. It's like, wow, this guy has got it all.
It is, yeah. It's weird. I don't know. I love it. I think it's awesome. Any of the other games? I mean, I want to give a shout out to Take, obviously, all the hard work and all the sponsors that go into that. I know that he completely transforms his loft into, like, you know, Broadcast Central to make all that happen, and he's been working on that setup for years. I mean, I'll tell you what, I will continue to throw my money at the screen every single time there's a Home Story Cup if they continue to be as great as they are.
Go for it.
Oh, yeah. There was an interesting discussion on the stream.
Do it.
It was with QXC and Thorzane about a map, Neo Planet S. And Thorzane got really salty because QXC left off the S from Neo Planet. And I was watching Thorzane, and I want you to recount it, but I was like, Thorzane is right. Thorzane is right.
I've been quiet about it all this time. Like, whenever people do map vetoes with me, they're like, okay, I veto Neo Planet. I'm like, I die a little bit inside. But then I just had to be like, dude, it's Planet S, right? It's Planet S. It's shaped like an S. That's why it got its name. It fucking says Planet S on the map. It doesn't say Neo Planet on the map. It says Planet S. So,
did QXC argue back?
Yeah, he did.
What could your argument possibly be?
He made some argument and then turned it into like it being about the Neo and not the S or something like that.
About how it's a new, like a remake of a Budworm map, and that's why Neo comes from. Which I guess makes sense, but it's still like Planet S, right?
Yes.
It was originally called Planet, that is correct.
What?
That doesn't even look like an S to me. What is it?
Planet S is one of the four new maps introduced.
Yeah, no, what I'm saying is that Neo making about Neo is weird because it wasn't originally called Planet. It was always called Planet S.
Exactly. Thorzane, like, fucking QXC is just straight up wrong, dude.
I think this is a good example of an American being wrong on the name of something geographical, a European having the correct answer, but not having the ability to argue it well enough in English to convince the American.
Sure.
It's because we don't have those maps and like such as, and we don't know where the Iraqis.
Iraqis. I thought you said Rockies and Iraq at the same time. I appreciate that. Listen,
I don't know.
We all just are busy running the planet. We don't need to know the names of all the little places. All right.
There it is.
That's all it
matters. QXC. It's been. Objection. It is Neo Planet S. And we'll just leave it at that. Next.
That's what I love about Thorzane, though, is getting miffed about this, like, the most little, like, Neo Planet S versus Neo Planet, and he's like, "Ugh!" I was like,
I personally just call it Planet S instead of, like, because Neo isn't, to me, like, there's maps like Newkirk Precinct LE, TE. It's like the new ones are called like TE because it's like the tournament edition. I just say Newkirk City.
Holy God, is that what TE means?
Do you say Newkirk City TE?
No, I just
then you should say good. Yeah, then you should just say Planet S.
No, don't you say like Newkirk Redevelopment District or something?
What?
Yeah, now it's like that got that new weird name. That
yeah, it's Newkirk Redevelopment District or something.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
They changed the name of it?
Yeah, it's not. Yeah,
yeah. It's like it's the one block down from Newkirk. They shifted their focus.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Damn it.
No,
damn
it's called it, Newkirk Precinct TE.
Either way,
let them figure it out. They'll figure it out. Look at the ladder, and then look at the maps, and then it is Newkirk Precinct TE. Never mind. So let's move away from that. Thor's Aner's right this time.
Speaking of
No. Redevelopment Precinct. Okay, whatever.
Did they? What is the map that has the double ramp leading
Red City?
To the natural Red City?
Yeah.
Completely off topic.
Yeah, it's a shit map.
No, it's the...
No,
it's
that's not Red City. No, not Red City. Red City's
it's
okay.
What's it called?
Derelict. Watch.
Derelict?
No.
Oh! No, that's...
Korhal Sky Island.
No.
Oh, Korhal Sky Island, yeah.
Ramp. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's a shit map, too. Man.
It's do you guys all map. Veto that shit?
No, because
yeah,
it's
I vetoed it.
What?
So I have to play on it. Oh, it's in
yeah, it's in MLG, so...
Really? It's in MLG?
Yeah, it's in MLG.
It's they also have that new...
But
it's a what? Insta what?
Insta veto for me, like an MLG. That's the nice thing about MLG is they give you, I think, two vetoes. So you can basically say, or at least one, where you're like, I'll never play that map. So that's my map for that.
I think it's really
your opponents
great.
Know you're gonna veto this map.
Suppy, you like it, right?
Well, no, not this map. But like, I think it's really great that MLG changed their map pool. Like,
oh.
Yes, of course.
And they're actually really progressive this time. They even added like the winner of the Team Liquid map contest. Crux Frost. I think that's a really nice move by MLG.
Oh, okay. So that'll be the map I veto.
You're such a dick.
I haven't played it. I haven't played that, man.
Way to be prepared.
Actually, it's probably not a good map for you either.
When you're in the finals and you're forced to play the best of seven, you'll really think twice about
that'll
that.
That'll be the story. In control, in the finals, and he's never played this map. Who would have thunk it?
Oh my god. It's happening.
Then I'll just forget anyways.
This map, like, let's say, because you can spawn at different locations. If you spawn one of them, it's like the best Terran map in the world. Maybe, I don't know, I didn't play it. And if you spawn on the other one, it's like the most horrible Terran map in the world. How do you choose? You're like, okay, I'm going to play this map because it's 50% chance that it's really good, but it's 50% chance that it's really bad.
Hellbat like, drops, man.
It's hard to choose, like, that map, if that's the case. Like, you're going gambling even with the map float.
Is this, like, one of the first maps to ever have non-symmetrical spawn locations?
There were some in Brood War. There was,
I'm sorry, first StarCraft 2.
StarCraft 2, yeah, probably.
When you spawn, does it auto-spawn cross then?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you won't have, like...
Dude, I don't think I've ever played this map from the northeast or the southwest position. That actually must be how many people veto it.
Actually, for MLG, they locked it so you can only spawn in the northeast and southwest position.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I don't know if that's a good...
southeast like a pretty and northwest is... normal map, right?
I mean, it's still kind of a weird map because of the double ramp.
Yeah, but on the southwest and the northeast side, there is no double ramp. It's like a normal StarCraft map. When you're on the northwest or the southeast, that's when you've got the fucked up double ramp.
Yeah.
Oh, which positions did you say were still
it's
alive?
Top right and bottom left. Those
so
are
like
we always have a double ramp.
No.
It's just one, the bottom right, top left has destructible rocks.
Yeah.
Well, it's a ramp with two sides open to the map. I don't know what
you
call it.
Right.
Very weird.
But, yeah.
I think that was like one of the one criticisms that people had about the map pool for MLG was that they chose this map. Where its purpose was kind of like for Pro League, and like the whole point of the map was that there was two different spawn locations, and then they locked it, so some people thought like that was a bad idea because the whole purpose of the map is that you don't know where you're going to spawn. But at least it makes it a more normal map. So, I mean, maybe Marcus would play on it if it's like locked.
Maybe.
Well, come here for a second. What do you do with something like what are you supposed to think as a father when your kid comes down and it looks like he has like just something hanging out?
He has a runny nose. He has a runny nose.
Get out of here. I don't know. Look. Oh, what? A bloody nose?
Oh
what's okay. It? Okay. All right. Are you okay? Okay, he's okay.
Right. Saturday put a tampon in the wrong place.
I'm like, dude, what is hanging out of your nose there?
Not that I guess there's a right place for him to put it, but yeah.
Additionally, this weekend, next to the Home Story Cup, which lasts 4 days, we had the Red Bull Training Grounds, which I only got to see a little bit of, but they definitely were good guy Red Bull Training Grounds and waited until Home Story Cup was finished before they started, which I thought was really cool. But Golden wins in the finals against Sound. Former ITG host, the Muslim, was there, and we had Husky and Day 9 casting along with Mr. Bitter doing some casting and some side stuff. Any of you guys get a chance to check the events out this weekend?
I did. I watched it.
And what'd you think? Separating the competition from the micro tournament, which was pretty hilarious as well.
Oh, I did. Yeah, you guys will have to talk about that. I don't watch childish shit like that.
I didn't watch it, but I heard that like.
Whoa.
Puck. Hey. What?
Whoa. You don't cut in on my opinion like that, sir.
You go. You go.
Yeah, exactly. I go. The tournament itself was nice. It was obviously like very laid back and kind of like. Not a true tournament. It was more about it was an interesting. I don't know. I enjoyed it because it was StarCraft, I feel. But if this was like a standalone weekend and this is what they did, I think I would probably come away from it and say, nah, not that much. Because they did some fun stuff, which people liked. The tournament itself was cool because the games were very competitive. But in the past, Red Bull, for this kind of a weekend, did more of a like, this is a training weekend. There's people being coached. Let's show that. Day 9's right. On stream talking about what they could do better and giving them challenges and stuff like that, which, again, I didn't particularly enjoy, but I recognize that that was unique and that people really liked that because it was a different flavor. So them dropping that and having it more of like a not necessarily dropping that, but minimizing that, I suppose, and having it more just games being played on stream that were competitive. I enjoyed that Sound looked to be a new improved Sound. We haven't seen him in a while. He played really well. And then, of course, Golden... Again, a player we haven't seen much from lately, showing very good play. And then it was cool seeing the underdogs like Puck and Kane and DeMuslim showing off their skill as well. And that way it was fun. But I guess as like a, again, if it was a standalone weekend, this was the Red Bull weekend, I think I'd be disappointed.
Yeah. It is a feeder in some aspect into MLG, if I'm not mistaken. Don't the top two automatically get in?
I think all of them. I think
all of them are going, but then they get some additional. You know, I don't know, considerations. I could be wrong on that. I know one of the storylines was how well will Select do, having taken quite a time off of StarCraft II in general and making a return. He's been grinding away on the ladder. Unfortunately, did not see that much success. Went 2-7 in map wins at the Red Bull Training Grounds. I'm not really looking for a comment other than I like Select. Would love to see him win a few games, you know, but also goes to show just how difficult it can be to take that time off and then try to jump right back into it. So,
well, there's just a difference between ladder and tournaments. We know that, right? Like, I think actually, and I'm sure DeMuslim would echo this as well, another example of that would be DeMuslim, the guy that ends up 3-0-ing Select. On ladder, he's like one of the most unbeatable, perhaps best... Well, certainly best NA Terran, but one of the best European Terrans as well, taking big, big wins. But in terms of tournament performance, he still is not that MLG whatever tournament winner. He's not a DreamHack champion. He doesn't really have that big tournament win just yet. So I think Select and DeMuslim, these are the guys that, like, they get it done on ladder. They have huge streams, but we're still waiting on the big tournament result. And they are, too. That's what they want to do as well.
Any of you guys face Select on the ladder?
I played one game.
Played one. Monet, so.
Just once. I just cheesed in.
Mm-hmm. You're a dick, Seppy.
I'm actually watching. If you tune into the Muslim stream, you will see them playing table tennis and the Muslim commentating, I think. Like, still at the Red Bull training ground.
That sounds
Shouldn't they be practicing StarCraft for MLG?
I don't know.
I think they should be. I think they should.
They should be practicing that new map.
Jackasses.
And then they should make sure to get Pickett versus In Control.
I think they all seem really bad at table tennis to be honest.
Okay. Anything? Any other comment? Hey, thanks Red Bull for continuing to, you know, put in to esports events.
Yes.
You know, I think some of the criticism about the level of players can, you know, I think that's fair criticism. I think then it just becomes a choice, right? People either choose to tune in or they just choose not to. I would definitely say Home Story Cup had a much broader and larger viewership, but you had MC singing and, you know, doing stuff
like
that.
How can you compete with that?
How can you compete with that? It's pretty tough.
I do want to echo the sentiment of hats off to Red Bull, because there was a moment there where they were quiet. Like, they came in esports, boom! Tournaments were announced. You know, there's a big circuit that actually didn't end up happening, by the way, Red Bull. Where's my Reddit thread? They did Seattle, and they were supposed to do some other events. Anyways, they had, like, a management change, so a guy moved on to another job. And for a while there, I was really worried that we lost Red Bull. Like, they came into the scene with a big, loud horn, and then they just kind of silently faded out. Still sponsoring, like, Star Tail and a few other things, which is nice. But I was excited for Red Bull to make tournaments and to really be active. But now with Rob Simpson at the helm, it seems like that is their agenda, and I'm excited about that. And this was a nice start.
Yep. You know, and we know there was a change of the guard over there, too. We've talked about that before on the show, but Rob Simpson is sort of leading the charge. You saw him a couple times on the stream, but good job, Rob, keeping the dream alive over there. So,
jab, rap.
Upcoming this weekend, the MLG Spring Championships in Anaheim, boasting three games, Call of Duty, League of Legends, Jeff's favorite, and, of course, the StarCraft II open bracket. And I got to say, man, Anaheim... This is one of my favorite venues, one of my favorite tournaments. I have a lot of memories from the last two MLGs that I've done. Maybe, is it been two? Maybe three, but I think two, including the Kespa players making their debut. And obviously BlizzCon has been held there too, so I've been through this venue quite a few times. But despite the fact that this weekend is an open bracket, and, you know, obviously I'm casting, so that's pretty... You know, great.
Yeah, but that's pretty good.
I'm actually just really excited for this event. I Anaheim has never let me down, so I'm hoping it will continue the tradition of being awesome.
It's gonna be cool. Anaheim was my favorite MLG so far. I've only been to one, the 2012 one, and at the previous MLG, the Dallas one, where there were only invited players, it kinda just sucked, to be honest. Like, normally at MLGs, you go there and you meet, like, all these players that you haven't talked to in a while, that you have talked to in a while, like, new faces, old faces. This time it was, like, how many? 16 foreigners. And they were all kind of, like, separated because there were two different practice areas. And, like, it felt really empty as a player. And I think all the players would echo that.
It's definitely, I mean, not weird, but different, knowing that we went through many MLGs that had an open bracket that sometimes fed into a championship bracket, sometimes not. But this is more reminiscent of sort of the early 2000 or the later 2010, early 2011 circuits before MLG finally went over to the arena. So it's kind of cool to now see the what basically had such a massive effect on StarCraft early on, now it sort of gets a chance to be revisited.
I like it for now, but when I hit Jadong first round, it'll get back to me, and I'll go ahead and hate on it for a week. But I'm excited about this. I guess a lot of people don't really... Not to be Chicken Little or anything like that, but this tournament's really important because we have MLG handing off the reins of WCS to NASL. And there was actually a period there where MLG was putting out really negative vibes about, like, just being very disgruntled about the WCS process, not happy.
Right.
StarCraft II fans are very fickle. They're very tough. So when, like, anything like that takes a dip down, there's a lot of people that are very quick to say, well, fuck you guys. We didn't like you anyways. And, you know, Adam in particular from MLG is kind of sensitive to that stuff because he pours his heart into it. And when people kind of throw it back in his face, he's one of those guys that does take that personally. So
go down with the ship, man. Yeah, he's
this weekend passionate. Is really important in the sense that it's a chance for MLG to return to what they're really good at and to bask in that glory. And I hope that happens because I can't imagine StarCraft II, but really specifically the North American scene without MLG. So I hope they have a great weekend. Mm-hmm. I hope it's got great numbers, but I hope it generates and thrust them forward into a brave new world where they don't have WCS to worry about so they can put on those amazing shows. Because Anaheim, everyone's talking about the scaled back prize pool, the like lack of Koreans, the different format, the very hurried like feel to it. But I implore people to look for the shiny things in this and to hopefully get behind it because we need MLG and it would be really good to have them.
With the open bracket coming on, there obviously will be a ton of games. And as a result, that means that there are now like 30 community streams. No, there's just five, but still that's a lot. MLG yeah. sort of brings back the beta community streams with four running with three different teams. And then NASL is also going to be running an MLG stream. And I'm not sure if it's going to be live on location or if it's going to be done out of their studios. But
studio,
either way, it is. Okay. So, you know, either way, there will be a shitload of MLG coverage over that 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I want to take a look at the competitor list. And did you have something, Thorzain?
So NASL is going to be streaming MLG?
Yeah, they're going to be streaming. I don't know if they're going to be doing like the whole thing, but selected matches. So maybe on the
like,
first...
why would MLG allow that? Seems, or I guess maybe it's like,
you know, I think it's more of a can we get like how many people can we get across all of our streams? You know, if we can feasibly, like, you know, it comes down to this. Right in the first round of 128, there's going to be 64 games going on. If you have that many streams, you can cover a lot more, and then you can obviously add to your viewers, and there'll be a lot of good players playing across the whole thing. So I think that it's a really great way to not only show that hey, we don't hate each other, there's a relationship here, and it's got synergy, and it means that there's going to be a third stream that's going to have some really good production behind it.
And I guess they aren't really rivals anymore with NASL doing only WCS and MLG still doing their, like, they don't really compete on the same basis as before. And
it's
even
good,
then,
it's good
I guess IPL and MLG were the biggest competitors and NASL was kind of, not really at the same level in my opinion, but still up there.
I think this is good for everyone. Like, it's one of the things that people lament when they watch an MLG is not enough gets broadcasted. Like, everyone complains about what gets on the stage, and that's oftentimes because there's three other great matches going on at the exact same time. So this is a way to mitigate that to a certain extent. And then, of course, including NASL is just good business. Like Thorzain said, they're no longer competing, so there's no real reason not to do that. But it's also another great... You know that NASL is going to put on a good production, and they're doing it under the flag of this is MLG. So you'd have to be either NASL would be idiots or you'd have to be an idiot to think that they're not actually helping MLG by putting on the stream and helping themselves. It's just good for both of them. But like, I don't think it'll be like the NASL stream with like a neon sign, NASL, like behind it, NASL, like we're here hosting some tournament. Anyways, NASL, like it'll be MLG NASL.
Right. Let's talk about some of the players that'll be there, including all of you guys.
Yeah.
You know, I think that there's still some very exciting additions. Obviously, Jadon coming is something that people are very excited about, making a return to Anaheim. Golden, who did just do very well at the Red Bull Training Grounds, obviously be there. And then also there was a few Kespa qualifiers that got defeated into the open bracket, which do include So, Stats, and Deer. I don't know that much about Stats and Deer. I'm pretty sure I've seen Stats play in Pro League, not so much about Deer. But, you know, any other real names in here that you're kind of excited to see how they do? Like Xenosiders 1, people want to see how he's going to do, like making his debut for EG. Obviously, Grubby being there. Heart, Dragon. What do you guys think?
There's a lot of really exciting names. Nanny was going, and Nanny was like he one of the places he originally made his big name was at an MLG. Really excited about that. I think Sase is in the player list, so of course Sase always on everyone's mind. Is he going to win this big tournament? For me personally, I'm a gigantic Jadong fanboy, so I want to see Jadong make it really, really far. But the Kespa guys that you just mentioned, like, I think it's really interesting because actually, like, So and, well, I guess So stands above the other two, but Deer and Stats are actually regular Pro League players. But all three of them are actually very underrated and extremely good. So I think a lot of people are about to be introduced in, to, like, the third tier of excellent Kespa players, which is going to be really fun.
So, I mean, in going along with the sort of, you know, well, Koreans are going to come over and take this tournament again. Do you see these guys like in top eight, Jeff, or do you think like they can do that much?
Absolutely, they should be in the top eight. It's a very different tournament format, so maybe people aren't quite used to. I don't know how traditional this MLG will be, but it used to be that like on day one it's awesome. You play at 5 p.m. It usually goes till about 11 p.m. or so, but it's no big deal. Next day starts at 9 and ends at 2 a.m. Like boom, you know, like fuck you, players. So we'll have to see. Like a lot of times the Koreans are very put off by that, and I know that Thorzane's had a tough time with that in the past as well. So we'll see how that gets handled. But as always, I expect the top eight to be six or seven Koreans. I just really would like, as always, a really good foreigner showing as well. Your EG guys, obviously, or like a Nanny or somebody to make it up there. Or Grubby. Grubby's got a fucking huge fan base. Would love to see it.
I think there's
personally? Go ahead.
Oh, I mean, I was just going to say, like, some other people to look out for, at least who I'm going to be looking out for, aside from the ones that Jeff already mentioned. Kane, WCS America, or Shoutcraft America winner, so definitely want to see how well he does there. And Moonglade's going, it's always interesting to see how he does. Yeah, those are two more people I'd be looking at.
For me, personally, as a Swede, I'm curious about the... The Swede I had never ever heard about before, did okay in the beta, joined Root and moved to Peru. Like,
succeed.
I wonder, yeah, Root succeed. Like, usually I'm, like, I know most of the Swedish players, like, even the not so famous ones, at least at some level. I had never heard of this guy before, and playing some games in the beta, like, he seemed okay. I'm just very curious about what his move to Peru has done for him.
He was actually poised to have a really good WCS run, but then he ran into a wall at NA. So.
Yeah, I'm just like
I like it. Thorzane's got his eye on him.
Who did he run into, Jeff?
Thank you, Suppy. Suppy, in the later stages of that WCS NA tournament, he unfortunately ran into someone by the name of In Control. And then Control went on. Yeah, that's right. For that, I was the wall. Thank you, Stuffy. Thorzane, I expect better from you in the future.
High five.
Yeah, internet high five.
Oh, my God. Stuffy with that awkward late third high five. Like, wait, guys, I want to be a part of this, too.
Did he injure it? I didn't see you. Was he?
Yeah, it was like a delayed third high five.
Oh, no, Subby, you did. Oh, shit.
That was pretty awesome.
Screen
Classic. So, MLG, I'm HD Pass, I believe 720 is available. Community streams will be available. Hopefully, you guys will watch it. We'll be talking a little bit more about this tomorrow live on 3. We're also going to be interviewing Flash. Don't forget about that. But that's events. Let's talk about some of the other stuff that's been going on. Including some subjects that have been brought up while we have been on show vacation. First and foremost, the Warp Prism patch is in. We've talked about it, I would almost say tirelessly here. But now that it's in, it means that you guys have actually played with it, that you've seen it. We've seen direct effects sometime. And I'd love to know initial reactions, any drastic change. We're seeing it more. Do you care?
Thorzane, Seppi?
Not too big of a change. People are still playing pretty similar. I have seen more like quick Warp Prism like drop play. But I don't think I've seen, like, I know its goal was to make more macro games. I think so far it's been about the same. I think people are still adjusting to the change. So far, not too big of an impact, at least in the games I've played.
I don't think I played against Warpism at all since the patch. Like, it was only a couple of days ago, and I was at Homestar Cup. Then I flew here, so I haven't been practicing a lot the last one or two days. And at Homestar Cup, I played against Hasselbs. Didn't get to... Actually, he used War Prisms, but that was really, really late, so he would have had the speed anyway. So, no impacts at all on my games.
There was a... and Jeff, I know it's probably you're going to want to comment. I was going to say there's one game today during the GSL where we saw the warp prism with the sentries and then the warp in and the main of the Zerg force field, the ramp. And I didn't like see it go, oh my God, that came so much more earlier. There's absolutely nothing he could do. It was more like he got it in there and he got the force field. He's fucked. Aside from that, you know, Jeff, our resident Protoss, have you noticed any changes?
It's kind of funny. It didn't have the effect I thought it would on the general Protoss scene thus far. I mean, I wouldn't write it off as like a... they're not going to. It might be just a slow uptake just because the change isn't so incredibly severe. Like, if it came with the upgrade, I think there'd be warp prisms in the nightmares of Suppy and Thorzane. Like, they would be, like, waking up with warp prisms around their face. But for right now, it was a really subtle change, so we're not seeing too dramatically... too much of an uptake in it. But for me personally, I've actually revisited the Warp Prism in my PvZ play. It used to be a mainstay in Wings of Liberty. Like, you couldn't win games without it. You just simply couldn't. But these days with the Mothership Core and with more Stargate play, it seems to have taken a little bit more of a backseat. Not for a good reason. It just, I guess those are the excuses. But I'm really, really enjoying it right now. It's great. I think it's just enough change where it's good, but not so good that it's imbalanced. And then I've been using it in PvT, and that is where I've been noticing a huge change, because, like, I'm having to learn the new economy, because if you put four sentries or even, like, two or three sentries into a warp prism, you usually don't have, like, five sentries at home, so you have to really compensate for that and have to change what you're doing. But it doesn't take much to actually really throw off a Terran economy, because I don't think they're used to, outside of, like, an Oracle, losing SCVs inside of, like, 10, 12, 15 minutes. The Oracle does that job quite well, but if it's not an Oracle, then it's probably nothing. So it's actually pretty cool.
Right on. Well, it's in full play right now, and I haven't really seen any balance wine. I mean, I think that's the best kind of patch when it kind of goes in. What effect it has, I don't know. We've got another tournament this weekend. Maybe we'll see. But overall, I think that these quieter changes are probably some of the better ones. So, all right. So, recently, another topic, there was some news about Azubu. And, you know, I mean, in a nutshell, let's just say that there were some not so innocent things alleged being done by original owners and CEOs and companies, and like money laundering came into it and all of this stuff. And a lot of people have just been mailing in saying, hey, we'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Just like, what do you think when you hear something like this happen in the esports world, whether it is, you know, with StarCraft II or League or Dota or any other game for that matter? Obviously, Azubu does have some roots in StarCraft II, not only with Violet, but they've got a lot of roots in several other games, including League of Legends, where they not only sponsor the LCS, but they also have Azubu TV. They've got a few other StarCraft II players underneath their belt. So as far as the CSL issues with some of the payments, they appear to be resolved, and Duran speaks out on behalf of the league. But I think people just kind of want to hear. What's
getting,
that?
He says
getting resolved. I'm sorry. Getting resolved. But at least there is – what I should have said is there was some communication there, where before, right. I think there was a lack of. But what do you guys think about this? I mean – I can't pretend to know all the details. I can't say whether someone is these facts are right or wrong, but I do certainly feel like I've heard a few more bad things than I have good things lately, and that's
it's terrifying. I think a lot of times when people talk about the supposed fragility of esports and the bubble that gets referenced all the time, I usually kind of roll my eyes and think that that's a little bit fatalistic, and I don't know that we're at that point. But then when Azubu steps in out of seemingly nowhere and props up gigantic things like what's supposed to be the Twitch competitor, what's supposed to be CSL, which was a league on the rise. It was like a farm system for professional StarCraft II. Like, it was a very big, big deal. And then they sponsor some really good players. Like Violet, they nab them up immediately. They take on, I think, Symbol is another player they have. Like, they have these really good players, and they're all over the place. Like you said, they're in LCS. They're in League of Legends. And then stuff starts coming out that's like, it's not okay they're not making money back. It's that the entire, like, infrastructure of their company could very well be built on illegal things, which means that the floor beneath the feet of all these people could just flat out fall down. That's actually terrifying. I don't think that like, I'm not talking about like StarCraft II's like ecosystem will crash and everyone will go back to, you know, 9-to-5 jobs or something like that. But what I do mean is that when some of these guys get spurned or some of these leagues get spurned or some of these sponsors see what could happen, they do step away and they don't necessarily come back. Because esports is a developing market, it's not a sure thing. So that's the threat that they pose, and that's terrifying to me.
I think it really sucks just because they were such... I mean, even if it was illegal or whatever sketchy things they were doing, they were such a huge influence on esports as a whole in terms of all the support they gave to all these different leagues, all these different players that we were talking about. So seeing this just suddenly disappear is really big. Like, CSL is not going to be nowhere near the scope of where it was last year, and that's definitely something that's especially important to me because obviously CSL is what I compete in. And it really sucks. It was looking really good. We went global, but maybe this season we're going to have to go back to like North America only.
Did you guys already get the money?
Yeah, we still haven't gotten it. Yeah.
He's not paid.
Yeah, it's on the Reddit. It's on the Reddit thread. But yeah, it just really sucks to see, you know, something they supported. They did have a lot of money, and they did pump a lot of it into esports. So it could be pretty bad. It's going to be a pretty bad thing if they end up just like disappearing.
What? Someone just sent me to Azubu.net.
They might be changing their name, is what the thread is saying.
Yeah, it says Azubu Interactive will be no more. I don't know. At this point, it's like, I don't even know, man.
Gapelion?
Gapelion. I feel that's like the, James Bond needs to come in now. Like, there's some sort of subtle espionage going on underneath here. I don't know, man. Gapelion.tv will be good.
It's so crazy. I want to laugh about it, except that like Suppy, obviously a teammate/friend,
right,
is affected. But it's not just him; it's their squad. Like, there's actually legitimate players out there that, if this were to go down the way it's kind of teetering, they get fucked. They get fucked. Like, Suppy's owed thousands of dollars, which is for a college student a big deal. I got MVP for a tournament. I got $500. I spent every dime of it on a PS3. Who knows how many PS3s Suppy is getting outed of because he's not getting that money, you know? PS4s. You could buy PS4s with that money.
Xbox Ones.
No. PS4s. You could buy PS4s with
that
money.
Xbox One.
PS4 is a good choice, Suppy. Does this affect you at all, Thorzane? Is it kind of scary to see an organization have issues like this? Is it kind of just... Do you say, I'm glad I'm not anywhere near it? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it didn't affect me at all, personally. So, I don't give a fuck. No, but, well, like, obviously...
He was cast as like, an Idris replacement for the show.
Yeah, well... I mean, there were, as you guys were saying, a big, like... source of money, to put it that way, in esports. And, like, they did a lot of good things, but then, well, I don't know, just kind of sucks. Like, even the Korean players, I talked with Violet some, and he didn't seem that concerned. Like, he was like, whatever happens will happen. They sent me here to Homestar Cup, so as long as they keep doing what they're promising me to do, like,
his words to me were, as long, I think, let me get this exactly right, as long as check come, me happy.
Yeah, that's that's kind of the gist of it. Like, so this still seems to be like playing.
And I'm sure every single person over there is at least like doing their own due diligence, right? Like, I don't think this news hits and then they're like, oh, well, if I get an email about it, I'll worry about it. But I mean, I have to imagine there's some smart people that will at least, you know, do their own due diligence on the issue at hand. But it is kind of sad to hear, and good luck to Gapple, yeah, that one company.
There's another one, too. It's like cloth.net or something.
Cloth.net?
Cloth.net.
What's cloth.net?
Sounds German.
Is it K-L-O-T-H? Because it just seems like, no, what is it?
Where is it?
Oh, yeah. Wait, oh. I got it in my... It's K-L-A-U-F.com. Apparently, I visited this site already. What is this?
Cloth is a compound word for...
Oh,
yes. Cloud and
roof. That's right. That's right. We talked about... I think we saw this on... Yeah, Live on 3 or something. Yeah. This one, I don't even know what the heck this is. This stuff. All right.
Yeah, it has the same CEO as the Azubu CEO or something.
Right. Interesting. Okay. Tournament downtime. Last week, Slasher brought this up on Live on 3. And he puffed his chest and his fucking hair frizzled a little bit. And he tried to get all, like, up in the mic and he was like, tournaments need to stop having downtime. There's too much downtime at these tournaments. It's bad. And... it's not helping anyone, and it sucks, and I'm going to fight for all the players because I know what I'm talking about. And I said, Slasher, I feel like most tournament players go to tournament and expect some level of downtime, you know, because there are different stages of the competition. And so I said, well, that's perfect. I'll just ask the guys on ITG what they think about it because we're about to go into MLG. You guys can give it to us here. What? You're going to play a game in the morning, and then it could be a couple hours before you play another game, maybe 20 minutes sometimes. Like, talk to me about this from a player perspective. Is Slasher fighting a battle just to be a white knight, or do you think that there's actually a lot of work that could be done at some of these tournaments to try to close the gaps for tournament participants?
Is he talking about, like, downtime in the stream or, like, downtime in between matches?
Both. Yeah, both.
I think downtime in the stream, I mean, that's kind of a production side of the
thing. I kind of think, actually, let me just take a... Slasher was definitely white knighting for the players. He was, like, trying to be like, man, maybe In Control will get on my side if I sit here and I talk about, you know, like, that sort of thing. And I was like, I think you're fighting a battle that no one actually fights, Slasher.
I think there are tournaments that take it to excess, and that's, of course, a bit of an issue, but not really like the biggest of issues, because while a player would probably prefer to play their games all in a row, I think they all universally understand that that's largely in part out of, like, it's just sometimes not possible, so why complain about that? Like, that would be a really weird thing to complain about. My barometer for this is that if Sase doesn't complain about it, then everyone shouldn't complain about it, because that's going to be your lowest threshold for what you should complain about. But then on the production, that was a joke, god damn it. Someday you guys will get onto this. That's fine. Thor's, I expect better from you. On the production side of things, this is something I have taken up. So, like, if Slasher is honestly like white knighting players and, like, going after that, then that's a little bit weird, because... again, that's like not
well,
a subject.
I'm just
that
giving
are...
him shit. I was just like, I don't know why you're taking up this fight right now, Slasher. Like, I don't know what the purpose of it is, really.
So the way I would answer this then is I feel like you will have downtime, but you want to rate the tournament on how they handle the downtime. So, like, from a production side of things, I've been on this a lot. If a tournament just has a rotating, like, their emblem and then terrible music playing over and over again, or just a shot of the skyline, I think that's a really poor use of downtime. If a tournament has, like, fun little vignettes or whatever the fuck, or, like, hype videos, like, some kind of variety, or, like, what DreamHack did, which is just have roving interviews. IPL did a cool job of having live content in between games on a regular basis. That, to me, is a show that you could get someone to watch for, like, 9 hours, which is unparalleled in TV broadcast, but really anything. So that would be really, really cool. But then, I mean, I guess that's what I would rate it as, and I think you should always fight for that. But on a player level, as long as we're playing games and we have like some semblance of warm-up computers, and it's not like 5 hours between games, it's more like it's closer to 1 hour, maybe two at the very most, then that's good player conditions. But when it's like pushing 5 hours or like something bad like that, I guess that's an issue. But I can't think of a tournament that does that, so I don't know why we would talk about it.
Yeah, I don't think it's at a point where like it's something that people would complain about. I think I would like, I think a tournament where there was less downtime would be pretty cool. And obviously still breaks and stuff, but I don't think many players are complaining about it. I mean, for DreamHack, there actually was a lot of downtime for me, because I don't know if you remember, Jeff, but I had my first match was at 10, and then my next match was at 6 p.m.
Wow.
So that was actually kind of a long time, and that was kind of a pain, because I had to take I had to take a nap in between, so I like wouldn't be sleepy, because I was kind of jet-lagged. But I think at most tournaments I go to, I never find it a problem. It's never a really big deal.
But even like that tournament, the reason they did that... just one second. Just got a gigantic Twitch commercial that breaks the mute button and blasts my face.
Marcus,
those Twitch bastards.
It's actually the commercial, the ad delivery.
Yeah. Catches you guys off guard every time.
Well, I mean, you know, you guys keep bitching about it. We keep explaining it, but you guys don't seem to figure out that. Anyway.
Don't get mad at people they buy advertisements from.
It just goes like that. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Suppy. Like, that does suck, but the reason that happens, and I think one of the, like, that is bad, but didn't they go through H or F in groups that day just to get day one out of the fucking way? So it's like a 12-hour day. And then they did the second group stage. Oh, no, that was second and third group stage is what we're talking about. Because day one, you just did one group stage. And then day two, you do two group stages. So you completed your group, but then all the other groups have to play, and then you start your group again in group three. And that's tough. I mean, I don't know what you would do to do something different. Like, if you do a 128-man open bracket, or not even open bracket, but like semi-open bracket, I think you're going to have some downtime, you know? Yeah. And if there is a format out there that doesn't do that, I'd love to hear it, and I'd push it on other tournaments, because downtime does suck when it's at that level, especially when you've traveled from America to Sweden like Suppy did.
We only have a little bit of time. You guys want to take a couple phone calls? Do you have a final comment on that, Thorzane, while I open things up?
Yeah, I just, like, for me personally, playing a game quite early in the day and then having to wait, like, 5-6 hours and then playing more games, I just get so much adrenaline from the first, let's say, group stage, that after that I just want to go sleep for the rest of the day. And then when I have to play again, I can't reach that, like, level of, like, just focus again, and I'll be playing really, really sloppy. I think that's a problem for many players, at least players who, like, get really into the game and, like, really nervous. Because it's really hard to, like, reach that high of, like, adrenaline a second time the same day.
That's probably one of the best arguments I've heard, and obviously not one that Slasher can really make, because he would have no idea, really.
Yeah, this guy.
So... Oh, see, Rod says, good shit, Thorzane. Look at that real talk. But see, it took Thorzane to come up with a good point for you, Rod, not you. Let's open up the phone lines for a little bit here. Actually,
it's from New York. It's Rod.
You know what? It's going to happen. It's going to fucking happen. I know. I'm just waiting for it right now. I don't even know that I should put the call thing up, because I feel like it's coming. And then it's going to be, and then Goat Lust, right? All right, I'm going to let it. The last time Rod was on Side of the Game, it didn't turn out so great. So let's. So Thorzane has to make your arguments now? Is that what's up?
You did a great explanation in the beginning, just totally messing it up completely. But I expect nothing less from you, Weed.
Yep. How's it going, Slasher?
How you doing?
Doing good.
I felt compelled to call in because I
could feel the salt coming through the interwebs. It was great. So do you want to talk about the fact that no one actually cares except for Thorzane?
Oh, so one of the players is not a big deal. It's not a big deal to you. My main concern and problem, and of course the downtime is terrible and bad for all tournaments and we hate it, and that's a whole other thing. My main concern was exactly what Thor Zane said, is that players have to come in to the event at like 10 or 11 a.m., play their matches, and then have to wait the entire day, and then sometimes have to play at 11 p.m. or midnight and finish at 1 or 2 a.m., and I don't think players should have to play till 2 a.m. because other players had to play their groups and their matches during the day when it's not, you know, those players' fault that they had to play so late. I understand there's only a limited amount of time the tournaments can run in, especially on a weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. DreamHack has Monday or whatever. But
well, what about a limited set of equipment, right? Like whether it's StarCraft or Counter-Strike Go, you know, every game needs either 5 additional computers for a team or 10 for a match or 2 additional ones for a match. I mean,
well, what would they do to fix it too? Like equipment, schedule time. If they have other groups to play, how would you go about fixing that, Rod?
Exactly.
I thought MLG Dallas was actually pretty good. I liked the open bracket was gone. I liked it that players ended their matches at 9 or 10.
Oh, wait. So to fix this, you would just do away with open brackets is what you're saying?
If you want a solution, then I think tournament format has to change if you want to reduce the amount of time that they are at the very end.
What? Yeah.
Okay.
I think the cost of doing that, like, of losing the open bracket in order to reduce downtime isn't worth it. I think reducing downtime is a good thing that we should be striving for, but I don't think...
I think you should have both. I think you're both right. I think Rod's right that downtime sucks, so tournament format should maybe be more like Dallas was, because I thought that was a great show, but actually a bad example, because in my opinion, you should also have an MLG Anaheim that is open bracket or DreamHack that is open bracket, because if you take away open brackets, I feel like a certain thing is lost in this community. I don't know that we want to do that.
Well, okay, besides the atmosphere part, for each of you guys, do you not have a problem playing at midnight or 1 a.m. and then having to finish at 2?
As a player that is sponsored by Monster Energy Drink, I find that late night games are actually right in my sweet spot because I'm wide awake, filled with adrenaline, and the wonderful vitamins give me that extra kick that allows me to continue to perform at the highest levels.
Drinks out of his monster bottle, and Jeff follows.
That was beautiful. I really believe that there's more players like Thorzane than there are of In Control. From going to all these events and talking to players from all these different games for as long as I have, most players generally don't like playing so freaking late, and they feel that they play worse.
Of course.
Because they do.
Of course.
I don't really think it's a matter of necessarily playing late. Obviously, you play worse when it's late. It's just like when you have to play and then wait, and then play again. That's my biggest issue. If I wouldn't have to play anything in the whole day, and then play late, first of all, it's very easy to adjust. Like, I could, like, wake up late, and, like, all that. But then it's, like, I don't have to calm down and then go up again. That's the biggest issue.
Let's be honest. If a tournament was truly just about displaying the best skill for each series through the tournament itself, there would be a match, and then the next day there would be another match, and then the next day there'd be another match, and each time you'd have downtime to go home and rest, to go eat. It'd be at 4 or 5 p.m. You'd know who your opponent is for 12 solid hours. But that's not what these can possibly be about, not just because of time constraints, but also because of just the format of the tournament. Like, GSL is your tournament where you play prepared matches, but otherwise, MLG, it's about condensing a massive competition down to 3 days.
I kind of like the way MLG has been doing it before. Like, there's an open bracket, but then there's also the group stages where those players don't have to play all as many games, and they're there because they deserved it. Like, they played well in the previous events.
That's why it was there.
I liked it. Yeah. I like it.
So I don't want to take up too much time. All I wanted to say was, there might be some good news about Azubu. I really have been on this fucking case for the past 2 weeks, trying to find every nook and crevice of, what the hell is going on. I have talked to journalists in Korea from This Is Game. They tell me that this is actually nothing and Azubu is fine. That they are so disinterested in this story that it's not a big deal. I have talked to Ken Yang, who used to be the OGN Western guy, who now that Chober is in that job now, he used to kind of run the Western stuff for OGN. He left Korea to go to Germany and do this unannounced project, which is now Clough. CLAUF.com is Ken Yang, who used to be from OGN. They have not said about like what they're doing or what it is, but he personally denies to me any involvement with Azubu. He says they are not Azubu. Huh. I'm taking him by his word right now. I'm still trying to figure out like what the hell is going on, but he assures me even till this morning that they have nothing to do with Azubu and they have no idea what is going on there. And then lastly, I had another person who from Nexon who says they met with Azubu recently because of some Dota 2 stuff, and he talked to them about some of the controversy, but he saw that everything seemingly was doing okay. Duran says he's going to get the money for CSL, so I don't know what the hell is going on over there, but it seems to be working somehow. Maybe the money is laundered, maybe it's not real, but I can't figure it out if it is, and no one else seems to really care in Korea. So
Die down a little bit, and because of that, I think that came out. But I'll be curious to hear what else you found tomorrow on Live on 3. So,
okay.
All right, buddy. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks.
All right, bye. Peace. Bye. Goatlust, where are you?
Goatlust, call in, but in the meantime, one more call.
Okay. I actually never put the call-in thing up, so I'll just flash it up there real quick.
Did Goatlust call every single episode?
He's missed one.
Well, he missed one last time when, yeah.
Why is it not there?
Fucked up.
How come I don't
Might have to
it?
Fire him and get, like, Catlust or something like that on here.
He's calling in already.
Good.
I'm just going to answer it. My help desk overlay is broken. Like, nothing is coming up. What the hell is going on?
Stupid computers.
God, what's up? I'm going to try this. What the hell? It just doesn't exist, you guys. All right. Well, that's okay. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay. We're getting Goatlust. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only. It's Goatlust. Hello, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, mate. Not bad.
Good.
So what's this business about me missing a bloody show? You guys run one on a fucking, like, a bloody Friday or something?
Thin ice, man.
Yeah. Yeah, well, oh, you mean the last time we did a show and like shit was broken or we failed?
Oh, no. Just someone said I missed the show and like it was our fault.
Yes. Goatless is officially cleared. Yeah. His attendance still remains 100%.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, to clear that up for everyone out there. How things?
Right, have
you been watching a lot of StarCraft lately?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I didn't really like so much what they did with the all the WCS stuff. I mean, I didn't really like it all that much, but yeah, it's good to see some of these other tournaments as well now. Couple of weeks, yeah.
You watch like any home story cup or a Red Bull or anything?
Yeah, not really, because it turns out like Europe's got some of the worst times for us Aussies, so. I usually catch a lot more of the American events, so it hasn't been that great, you know?
Sure.
Are you proud of your boy Pig? Oh, actually.
Oh, yeah, good man.
You are proud of him? Good, because I'm going to rant about him real quick. Can I do that real quick?
Yeah, fair enough.
Wheat? Is that
all
right?
Yeah, go for it. Rant? Go for it. I love
Pig. He's continuing a long line of, like, the friendliest people I've ever met in every walk of my life has always been Australians. They're absolutely incredible human beings. Really nice. Had a great tournament. Beat Lucky and proceeded then go in further in the tournament. But then he did what I think should be called the sin of the Muslim in competition. And I want to speak to this real quick because I think there's going to be people that disagree with me, but this is really important for people to know. Players, when you listen to this show, just know this and someday thank me, I suppose, if this was something you're on the fence about. It's really nice of you to do the honorable thing to like, oh, you messed up. Sure, we can regame. I would love to do that. But it's not your responsibility in competition to make amends for your opponent's mistake. DeMuslim against Scarlet? Whoops, you made an Evo Chamber instead of a spawning pool and I was two-raxing you? Sure, we can do regame. Lost the fucking game. Pig? Against Todd? What's that? You two-gated me? You proxy two-gated in the wrong base location because you didn't know the way the map was working? Sure, we can regame. Lost the fucking game. Both players were eliminated from tournaments that their teams and sponsors spent money to send them to, and both players could have done more and made a bigger legacy for them, but instead chose to be the nice guy. Now, a lot of people will look at that and say, nope, that's the honorable thing to do. It was an honest mistake. And that's good competition. That's a good thing to do. We are not a $1 million-billion industry where we can do the nice thing. If you could take, if my opponent fell out of his chair and burped up a donut and started coughing blood, what? I would giggle my way to the fucking victory. I would be laughing. I'd be like, yes! God. More donut blood, please! And people would be like, I think In Control should have regamed. And to that person, I would say nothing. Because I would be in the next round, happy. But if I'm pigger to Muslim, I've got time to talk to that person because I'm sitting in the audience tweeting about how the tournament wasn't that bad and sorry that I lost.
Jeff, I think the thing is, like, we're in sort of the same lineage, British and the Australians, and it's just sort of gentlemanly conduct that's sort of filtered down, you know?
Your example is non-existent. You don't give quarter to Frenchmen. Are you kidding me? You guys are the fucking...
Of course, you gotta uphold your gentlemanly conduct.
You guys are the colonial thieves of Britain. There's no way in shit you treat the Frenchmen any nicer than an Englishman would, and they wouldn't treat them very nicely at all.
True. All right, fair enough.
Play to win. Okay. Play to win.
I think this situation was a little different, though, than the Muslim vs. Scarlet, because this one, there was a little bit of map issue behind it, in that it was supposed to be cross-only, and that's what confused...
No, that's misconception. People thought it was cross-only because on the ladder it's cross-only, but in this tournament it was 3 out of 4 base spots were okay. Which is weird and bad, but that's how it was all tournament long.
Yeah. Well, and what do the Koreans do when there's this sort of problem? They just put the fucking bunkers on the bottom of the ramp and SD. That's how they deal with it.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Exactly. All right, so, what's your question this week?
I was just wondering what you guys think about TLO, because I hadn't really had him on the radar as like a fucking really, really, really good player. I just thought, you know, he's always been doing kind of well, but he's always had that innovative streak to him. And now he's, you know, completely tearing it up. Like, he's had some really fucking good results lately. What do you guys think about him?
He's definitely been playing extremely well lately. He's been playing, like, he got really famous in the beta for being a random player that did a lot of random stuff. He never really performed, but his fans still remained with him. But now he's actually doing really, really well, as you said, like top 3 Homestar Cup, beating like Hyun. Who beats Hyun? What foreigner has beaten Hyun before? Like,
yeah, not many.
Yeah, like, he was one of the players I thought was like more of a show than actual gameplay, but I'm glad he's proving everybody wrong.
He's number 10 in WCS right now. And, you know, one thing I think you guys can agree with, like, he's been putting in the work. And, I mean, not to say, like, other players haven't been, but you just see him training tirelessly all the time. All the time. I don't know what it is, what the switch was that was flipped, but he definitely seems to be a lot more on top of his game. It still kind of incorporates that unorthodox style that you were talking about, Thorzane. What about you, Sup, being In Control?
It's really inspirational. I think we've touched upon this this topic in the past, but it's really, really nice to see when someone like starts working hard, and you know he's working hard. He's released that schedule. He has like committed playing hours. He's even started like working out and like being healthier and everything. And it's really nice to see that it actually pays off and shows that when you actually do work towards something, like the results will start coming, and it's really motivating. At least when I'm looking at him, I find that as a very, really nice example of hard work paying off.
Yeah, I've talked a lot about this on the various hosting gigs and whatnot, because I think it's one of the most absolutely compelling stories of these tournaments, is that he's consistently at this point hitting top 8, and then of course at Homestar Cup breaching top 8, hitting top 4, and making a run for the finals, taking Tayshia to game 5. And a lot of people forget that he is a fan favorite, because earlier on, as Thorzane said, he was kind of a gimmicky, creative player that did enjoy lots of success, but never like big tournament win success. It was like a kind of deep GSL run back when the GSL was pretty terrible. Pretty good runs at MLGs and those kind of tournaments. But he was always known for being one of the more interesting players that played in a really interesting way. Just a second, I'm getting one of those Twitch commercials that Twitch is responsible for. No, I'm just kidding. And then it fell off because the game became much more mechanical and much more difficult. And I mean, I guess that's a really general assessment that's kind of mean, to be honest with you, but that could be the contributing factor. The game got a lot more difficult. The Koreans came in. It was a much more mechanical. Yeah, well, no, that's not it. He actually started losing well before that. But then
I mean,
he
that's,
has since...
That's why I got good.
Oh, I see, I see. I see what you're saying. Sorry. As a Protoss, both of those answers are interchangeable for me, so it's like I don't... Terran, Zerg, they both win tournaments. I don't... Whatever. But it's nice to see that he's like... Because the other thing about him is he's one of those foreigners that doesn't just like silently play in a room for 20 hours a day and you never hear about him. He does that, but then blogs about his experience. He tweets his emotions. So I know that he has a life coach that he's like literally working with to change his mentality and his schedule. I know that Team Liquid adores him as their like young guy that they brought up amidst their system and is now kind of the example of, as Suppy said, hard work paying off. And I know that he's got a gigantic following that loves his falls and his rises. And that makes him, for me, really engaging. So when I see him hit top four Homestory Cup, top eight DreamHack, and starting to really enjoy success after having fallen off completely, I feel like that makes this game so beautiful that it can actually, like, people can fall off and then come right back up through hard work. Not just, like, it's not like TLO woke up one day and was like, you know what? Right. I'm going to 10 pool every game and we'll see where it takes me. And, like, in one tournament he did really well. It's not like that.
He's the Lance Armstrong of StarCraft.
But with two
You know what else is beautiful about it? The fact that, like, you know, you don't see many StarCraft 2 players that have come from anything apart from really Brood War or Warcraft 3, and here he is, you know. I was a subcom player, and, you know, I came in, and now I'm tearing it up. Pretty
he
cool
would
to
lie
see.
And tell you that he was a rank A PGT Brood War player as well, though. But you're absolutely right. He's full of shit on that regard. He was maybe B+.
Probably. Yeah. Sounds about right.
You guys know that TLO didn't even use hotkeys at all when he was a town player. Like, not even from buildings, I think.
Yeah.
That's...
Pain user doesn't use hotkeys for his army either. And he streams 59 hours a day. So just to let you know, Starzen.
59 hours a day?
59 at least. That's
streamed himself sick. Sleeping, man. That was sick.
Man,
He streamed himself sleeping?
Well, he
really?
Fell asleep oh, nice. After like a... Oh, okay. So, yeah, anyway. Goatless, thank you very much. We will...
Can I just say one thing?
Always.
All right, mate. I'd just like to give a shout-out to Relic Entertainment and Sega, because Company Heroes 2, day one, pay-to-win DLC, sick shit.
What? Really?
I didn't get anything you said.
Really? So, does that mean you
well,
didn't get it?
Yeah, well, it's kind of horrible, but yeah, I did buy it. I didn't investigate anything beforehand.
Did you get the pay to win DLC though?
No, I haven't got any of it yet, but
okay.
it's not so much pay to win, but it's like it gives you more options. It's like if you could only get spell vamp runes by paying or something in League of Legends, and you couldn't get them with IP or something, it's a bit weird, but yeah, it's not very good.
How much
good.
Have you dropped to try and win some games then? That's my question to you.
Nah,
zero.
Not so much like that, mate.
All right,
good.
But you do get gouged if you're in Australia. You got to pay $74
yeah?
for the actual.
Oh my
game.
God, I'm
Blizzard.
So sorry.
If you're listening, going back on my rant about Pig, if I could pay $10 for an extra 6 Colossus in a battle, fucking pay the money.
You just like have a button that like fucking like mule drops like 6 Colossus.
I win a dream.
Oh my god!
If not by liquidating my assets.
I
It'll
would.
Happen.
I. Holy shit, Jeff! Holy shit! I would. I would
just
pay to
five
win
new
like
expansions.
A crazy motherfucker. Yeah. I'd be like, what? 10 minutes? 200 Zerglings? Yes. All right, Goatless. Thank you
All
so
right.
much.
Thank you very much,
Take
gentlemen.
Bye bye.
Catch you later.
Peace.
So. I have to tell this story, right? Because, like, Pain User streams for, like, 39 hours. And then he tweets something to the effect of, like, going into sub-hypertonic chamber sleep session right now. And I'm like, oh, you know, that's good for him. He's been streaming for 39 hours. It's probably a good idea. And then, like, This was like before Live on 3. This was last week, 1 week ago. And then after Live on 3, I saw his tweet come up that's like, now playing pain users, Master's Terran on Twitch. And I was like, wait a second. That wasn't very long hyper, you know, cryonic sleep or whatever. And then 4 hours later, that's when he passed out for 7 hours on a stream and had more viewers than he's ever had, ever.
That's the irony, man. That's why the internet's such a bastard. It's like the guy streams to 150, 200 people, falls asleep, 2,000 people tune in for him doing nothing. It's like, ah.
And people are like, who cares? It's like, dude, when you've seen a guy playing StarCraft on his 42-second hour, you'll start watching the stream too, man. So, anyway, let's close it. Let's wrap things up. I'm telling you, it's like the best not watch stream on Twitch by far. Thorzane, we're going to see all you guys at MLG, but some closing thoughts for the audience. Or who wants to start? Thorzane, I can start.
Okay, Thorzane. So, I was a bit tired this episode. A little better next week, I guess. Are we doing a show next week?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, cool. Nice. Yeah, I'm excited about MLG. It'll be lots of fun. As I said, MLG Anaheim was my favorite MLG so far. And I think American fans are really cool. Like, they're very... There's a lot of, like, what's the word? They're very, like, straightforward and, like, just very extroverted. Which is cool compared to, like, Korean fans. A lot of Swedish fans are very shy. So I'm excited about an American event again. I think I'll be streaming tomorrow, so make sure to check that out at twitch.tv/Thorzane. Follow me on Twitter at EGThorzane. And thanks to EG and all the sponsors for keeping the dream alive, I guess. Raid Call, Monster Energy, Kings and Hackbreaks, Razer, and Astro.
And? Announced recently.
During Home Story Cup?
Oh, no. Persons.
Oh.
Yes, them, but also
Jinx.
Jinx!
Oh, shit.
If I would have been updated about that. Someone get out
the shirt! Fucking Super Bandit.
Got a new.
The funny thing is about Jinx is that, like, EG gets sponsored by Jinx, but, like, I've been wearing Jinx gear for a million years, you know? Like, they're one of my favorite companies.
Whatever.
So now, of course, every shirt I wear, people now notice that it's Jinx, when it's like, bitches, been wearing this shit for years. All right. Suppy.
Oh, we're sweet.
Suppy. Final thoughts.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. It's been a pleasure, as always. I'm going to be on Twitter at EGSuppy. And... What?
You're gonna be on Twitter on EG Sup? Are you doing like a? Are you taking over the Twitter account EG Sup? And you're doing a Q&A? What, like?
Sorry.
You don't have to apologize.
Okay, you go. I'm done.
Oh,
no, I'm done.
You're at MLG. You're excited.
Twitter.
He's got one of those collapsible laundry baskets. Those are really handy.
I noticed that.
Yeah, you're an efficient college student, buddy. You need some posters on your wall.
That's my neck pillow. Everybody who travels should get a neck pillow. They're really good.
Yes.
So you're going to be at MLG. Talk about that.
I'm going to be at MLG. This is the tournament where I had my breakout performance. So this means a lot to me. MLG Anaheim is definitely one of my favorite tournaments. I'm really excited to go. Hopefully I can do well there. It's going to be tough. There, I think everybody's saying there's not that many Koreans, but I think there's actually still like a lot of pretty good Koreans. I mean, not on the scales we've seen before, but there's still like a pretty large amount of really top Koreans. And yeah, it's going to be really exciting, and I hope I can meet a lot of you there.
Awesome.
Nice job.
EG in control.
I too will be on the Twitter account EG in control, so you can follow me there. Of course, big shout out to our team, Evil Geniuses, and all our lovely sponsors, which we recently added Jinx and Need for Seat, as seen on Thorzane's stream right over there in the corner. Really comfy, awesome chairs. And, of course, Jinx makes amazing clothes. It was announced, too, that my shirt will be coming out. It's already designed. It's pretty fucking cool. It's supposed to be coming out in early July, so you'll hear a lot about that from me. It's a good way to support me, but it's a cool way to also enhance the likelihood that you would attract feminine creatures and enjoy... Or if you're a girl, you can attract men with this shirt as well. It works both ways. It's an attractive shirt. For me personally, I will be playing at MLG Anaheim. People are still asking about that. So yes, I am playing, not commentating. And my expectations are anything less than winning this tournament will be a huge disappointment. I'll be super pissed at myself.
Look at that.
I'm in it to win it, baby.
Look at that.
And that's pretty much it. I'll be, streaming. Just always check Twitch TV for Control TV on there. And you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank you, gentlemen. All I have really to close this out is that tomorrow on Live on 3 here on One More Game TV, we are going to have Flash joining us. Flash is going to have an announcement. And then we've got some additional questions that we've been sort of racking our brains over for the last few days. And we're going to be doing that tomorrow. So hopefully you'll be joining us for that. That's 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Pretty much same time we're on every fucking week. So hopefully you've gotten that down by now. Other than that, I want to thank everyone who's been watching me play Terran over the last few days. I'm terrible, but I'm keeping at it to hopefully continue to improve my Terran knowledge a little bit. And Jeff, especially you, I hate you because you actually said I was playing Terran on the stream, and that's exactly what I don't need, is you directing people to the monstrosity that is me playing Terran. So thank you for that. But no, seriously, thank you for tuning in to Inside the Game. Appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow for Live on 3. And if you will be in Anaheim, come say hi to any of us. We'd love to shake your hand. And
one more thing, by the way, you're done.
Oh shit. Okay. Yeah. And then we'll see you there. So what? Last thing. Close us out, Jeff.
Everyone keeps asking about this, so I'll just put it out there on blast. Yes, we'll have more EG jerseys for sale, as well as other EG clothing. It was obviously during the transition between Jinx and Split Reason that we stopped working with Split Reason to make more jerseys. So if you're interested in that kind of a thing, it will happen soon. I don't have a date, and I won't even pretend to tell you how soon, but just know that it's in the works.
It's in the works. That being said, thank you guys again. We'll see you next time for episode 75 of Inside the Game. We are officially out of here. Peace.
Peace. Bye.